7:12 in the morning, we continue the Steve Cochran Show, number 605, at Cochran Show on Twitter, facebook.com/Steve Cochran Show, 312-981-7200, texters, and phone calls there. I will live tweet the Republican carnival tonight, which I think is 9 o'clock.
I think it is, too.
Which would be 8 o'clock our time.
Which is too late.
That's ridiculous. But, you know, that's the kind of that's what I'm willing to do for you guys.
Take one for the team. You just want to see what Rubio's reaction is going to be when he finds out that he's not going to win Florida.
There is allegedly going to be a kindler, gentler debate tonight. We'll see.
Wait, says who?
New polls. Well, it says Trump. New polls out. But he offered meat to everyone. New polls out today in Ohio. Multiple polls have Kasich leading Trump.
Yeah, how about that?
Well, that'd be good. In my world, at least. At Rap 30, Rick Pearson, finest political writer in America, Chicago Tribune, chicagotribune.com, host of the Sunday Spin. And who is the guest this weekend?
Well, I have Pat Brady.
Never heard of him.
Yes, indeed. Tom Bowen, Democratic consultant, and my retired Tribune colleague, Bob Sector. And we're going to do a 90-minute kind of round table fielding questions and everything on the ballot that's up on Tuesday.
It's going to be a big, big Tuesday, buddy.
Yes, it is.
So I'm just mentioning Kasich now leading in his home state of Ohio.
Yes, and, you know, here again, we look at Tuesday and the states that are with Illinois, it's a must-win for Kasich. Andrew just said about, you know, the polls are not looking really very good for Marco Rubio, and the pressure is really ratcheting up on him by a number of conservatives to ask him to drop out before Tuesday.
Is there a salvation of his political future if he drops out, or if, as opposed to if he stays in and gets throttled?
You know, we talk so often about how politics is short attention span theater. I don't know that there really is any price for him to pay politically at the end of the day, whether he gets in or whether he stays in or whether he drops out. I don't know that there's a great deal of damage to his political future.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with that. And at this point, why not? A lot of things can happen between now and Tuesday. And by the way, if he stays in, he gets free Trump meat.
Even though it's not branded by Trump.
Right. It's not Trump meat. It's meat from Trump.
Yes, indeed.
7:15, let's get a quick traffic update and then run around the city, the state, and the country with Rick in just a second. Before we get to that, Mary, what are the cars doing?
Accident 83rd and Halstead. Also, the ramp, 355 southbound ramp to westbound I-80, still blocked off with that overturned tractor trailer. Otherwise, the inbound Ike's up to an hour from 53, 46 from Mannheim, 40 in the inbound Kennedy, 25 inbound Edens, Stevenson from the Tri-State at 42, and the Ryans at 22 from 95th into downtown. Mary Vandeveld, WGN Traffic Central.
Talking to our friend Rick Pearson, Sunday Spin, Sunday morning, 7 a.m. at Rep 30, all over your social media. Let's start with the city. The mayor's going to be on with us in about a half an hour. He's got some new CTA news, but obviously I'll talk to him about the campaign and about all things related to the international and intergalactic government. Anything on the mayor's agenda?
Well, he will be talking about politics, of course, and of course he is supporting Hillary Clinton, but it's kind of interesting because, and we found this in our Tribune polls from back before about the fact that the mayor is not exactly a very popular figure in Chicago. So even the fact that Hillary Clinton is coming to the Chicago area today, you're not going to see those two together in public.
And is that because the mess of the fall, Hillary doesn't want the mayor and doesn't want that visual?
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's still, you know, you have Hillary Clinton actively courting the African-American community. The African-American community does not like Rahm Emanuel. That's a picture that Hillary Clinton doesn't want.
Well, there's nobody more savvy than Rahm Emanuel when it comes to, you know, what the images will look like when it comes to a campaign. I mean, I'm sure he understands that. He may not like it, but I'm sure he understands it.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, he does. But you've got, you have that issue. I'd be curious what his thoughts would be on Ken Duncan mm-hmm. and Juliana Stratton in that very contested $3 million plus Democratic primary for state representative that's become the Mike Madigan and Bruce Rauner proxy war.
By the way, if you're going to spend $3 million on a state rep seat that pays about $12.50 an hour, how does that make sense?
Well, this is an example of really the ongoing war. It may be, you know, it may be Ken Duncan and Juliana Stratton on the ballot, but it's really Bruce Rauner and Mike Madigan that are on the ballot. The money that's been flowing into Duncan, who has sided with Rauner, despite being a Democrat, on a number of votes, the money is flowing from Rauner allies. And Stratton, meanwhile, is being funded by the unions that traditionally back the Democrats. And when you have a $3 million plus, you've got a presidential endorsement and a lowly state representative Democratic primary, it really shows you how high the stakes are.
I'm just glad the money's being spent in such an intelligent way. It's not 12:50 an hour. What does a state rep make? I don't even know.
I can't even remember, but, it's not unsubstantial, but it actually, I believe aldermen make more than state representatives.
Well, that plus the take. What is the latest on Rauner versus Madigan?
Well, there is no activity. Rauner has been, using videos and public appearances to chastise Madigan in the House for having taken off the month. Basically, the chamber's not back in session until April 4th, and Rauner's basically...
it's so ridiculous. It is patently ridiculous. The state is on fire, and they don't show up for work.
Well, the question is, even if they showed up, what would get done? Because the impasse is still as political as ever. And everybody's kind of looking for Tuesday, and maybe the results there is some kind of a sign of what if any possibility there is of a breakthrough development.
You know what I want them to do? Sit there. Sit there like the elementary school children they are. Sit there until they figure something out.
Well, one downstate newspaper said, what's the point of having 177 legislators when there's only four that matter?
Yeah, we could save a lot on furniture.
Right, exactly.
So, all right, so nothing happening in the state. Let's go to the Illinois primary on Tuesday. We know what we think we know, which would be Trump and Hillary blowouts. Anything to believe it's going to go differently?
Well, I mean, I wouldn't say that it's a Trump blowout by any sense. Our poll had him up 10 points, 32-22 over Ted Cruz. But I think there's still a lot of fluidity going on in that Republican race. And, Trump is favored at this point, strongest support in the collar counties, which are where the Republican rich collar county votes are. But I think there's probably going to be a lot of movement for that second, third place area. We had Hillary Clinton in our poll up overwhelmingly over Bernie Sanders. The key here is to see, do people turn out, and can the youth vote that's overwhelmingly for Bernie Sanders show up in enough numbers to kind of move the dial? But yes, Hillary Clinton still remains the heavy favorite here.
And would a large turnout help threaten the Trump lead, or would it just make the lead bigger?
That's it all depends on where those votes come from. And frankly, one of the surprising things that I thought in our poll was that the margin of Trump against his rivals is smallest downstate. And normally in states that we've been looking at in these early voting, that's kind of those rural areas that is where Trump is gaining most of his support. So it depends where those numbers turn out. That's the big thing.
Sunday morning, Sunday Spin, 7 a.m. Thanks for doing that and starting our Sundays off with the most important political knowledge until we get to the chattering mouthpieces that are the rest of the TV heads.
Thank you, Steve.
All right, buddy, I'll see you. It's 7:21, and our friend Eric Edelstein in a moment will give us a bit of a take on last night's Democrats debate and also where the Hillary versus Bernie race is headed, because, yeah, it still is one. That's coming up, 7:20 WGN. Seven 27, and Eric Edelstein at Adel 64, A-D-E-L 64, joins me now. Hello, my friend. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Steve?
Doing fine. Good week, I hope?
Pretty busy with primaries, but not bad, yeah.
Okay. You're on the road or in town or both?
No, I'm in town. I'm in town.
Okay. All right. So did you catch much of the debate last night?
I did. It was tough between the Hawks game going on, but I made the ultimate sacrifice, watch the debate.
So. Did you think there was more hitting with Bernie and Hillary than there was in the game?
In a Hawks Blues game?
I mean,
the Blues
not.
Did all the hitting, not the Hawks.
Yeah, probably not. Probably not. Bernie got very vociferous, very boisterous last night, very chippy, if you will, to use a hockey term. Is that intentional, or is that just Bernie's agitation?
I think it's just a little agitation, sort of spending a lot of time together. He did it in the last debate where he was interrupting her and sort of seemed a bit rude, and I think you saw a little bit more of that. A little more of that last night, but you know, familiarity breeds contempt, and I guess these two have been going at it for a number of months now.
Hillary is still by far winning the delegate count when you throw in the superdelegates. Now, the superdelegates can change their opinion pretty much at any time down the road prior to the actual nomination. Having said that, she certainly didn't expect Bernie to win in Michigan. So what does that mean going into the second Super Tuesday, or is this the third Super Tuesday? I've lost count.
Right. A lot of Super Tuesdays. You know, she's fighting a rear guard action against Sanders. That's not to disrespect that he's not a serious competitor. He is, and he has been. It's been a surprise. I don't think there's much likelihood of him winning the nomination, barring something completely unforeseen. She continues to pile on the delegates. As you said, the superdelegates are kind of her ace in the hole. And I think, and I said this before, unlike in 2008, when you had the risk of the superdelegates defecting from her and going to Obama, which absolutely started to happen, I think there's virtually no chance of that happening here because of the sense of Sanders on the top of the ticket being not the best electoral situation for Democrats down the ballot.
You've managed candidates forever, managed campaigns forever. Has Bernie Sanders done himself a disservice by not staying away from the socialist label and actually talking about what he's really wanting to do in the campaign? I mean, there's certain things that are just real strong buzzwords that even moderate voters, you know, kind of run and hide from.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great question. You know, he's done extremely well by being himself and being unbelievably disciplined on that message. But I think it creates a low ceiling for him. I think he got into this race believing he was a protest candidate, not really a mainstream candidate. I think the two most surprised guys in America, I think, are Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders at how well they've done. And so, you know, I'm not sure there's ever been a real opportunity for him to have a broad-based coalition beyond what he had. What he's done is incredibly impressive. I don't think he's going away anytime soon. But as I said, I think she's fighting a bit of a rearguard action on her march to the nomination.
One local-ish question for you before I let you go. And we're just talking about this with Rick Pearson. Do you have any recollection of the president of the United States getting involved in a down ballot race like Ken Duncan and Juliana Stratton? And why is Obama involved in this one?
Unprecedented. I've talked to a lot of people, reporters who've covered politics a long time, covered this president. Nobody can remember a president of the United States being involved in a local race like this. Look, the White House was asked yesterday why, and I think the spokesperson was Josh Earnest, and he made the comment that months ago the president said if there were Democrats that weren't good on guns, he was going to comment, and Duncan had taken a vote that was basically an NRA vote. Now, is that the whole story? I don't really believe so. I think that's pretty good cover, but it is true at some level that, you know, Rick said this is a proxy war between Rauner and Maddie, and it's true at one level, but I also think it's sort of a proxy war between a war on working people and what Democrats are trying to do. And Duncan's really stood in the way of that. Now, the president getting involved, like I said, really unprecedented, but it just raises the stakes for what happens on Tuesday.
Is there anything to be made of the notion that Ken Duncan took the clips from Obama's speech here, put them into a commercial, really without White House authorization, not that you have to have it, but the president then decided, look, you don't get to do that to the president of the United States, and then he bigfooted it?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure that by itself was enough, but I think that might have been the proverbial straw on the camel's back. Right. I don't think the White House never likes that when you play fast and loose with the president's words.
Good to talk to you, as always. Where will you be on Tuesday?
I will be in town running around. And
will you have your phone with you?
I will, sir. I promise.
All right, good, because we'll need you. Thanks, buddy.
All right. Take care.
There you go. Eric Edelstein at Edel64.